time for the Susan Taylor Podcast, where we discuss the yoga of mind, medicine, and healing. Author of Feeling Good Matters, Sexual Radiance, and the Vital Energy Program, Dr. Taylor imparts authentic knowledge and practical tools that inspire, educate, and empower us to be a healing force for positive change. So join us and take your life and our planet to the next level.
Hello and welcome to episode 5, Remain Calm, Consciously Aware, Living in the Moment. In today's episode, we're going to talk about how can we actually live in a world without getting disturbed or distracted, and how to remain calm by bringing mindfulness into focus. And then we'll discuss a strategy to get started on the path to remaining calm, not being disturbed by anything in our environment. So I'm really looking forward to speaking to you on these great topics. So let's get started. One of the most valuable life skills that I have found is our ability to live in the world and not get affected by it. I'm continually in practice changing and formulating my own strategies. How can I live, become an observer of my environment and not get involved? We're likely to have experienced this also in every aspect of our life. When we want to be part of the outer world and not be disturbed, distracted, or even stupefied by it, remaining calm and focused is the key. And I like to say remain calm because it's in Ayurveda, calmness is one of the keys to the best of health. Being calm means not being stressed in most cases. So remaining calm, I developed the acronym by saying consciously aware, living in the moment. Because when we live in the moment, we're calm. It's only when we project out what could happen or what might have happened is when we get in trouble over that. So to remain calm and focused requires mastery over our drives and our desires. And more important, we need mastery over that which fuels these drives, namely our fears. It's the fears that make us do the things that we do and get involved and get disturbed. The fear is usually what's going to happen to me. One of the principal remedies that I found when I did a survey in all healing traditions is to train the mind to be stressless. In other words, train the mind to be focused, unaffected by the outside world. In other words, not to always be in that vigilant place of fighting or fleeing, no matter what happens. You know, even Western medicine today, the reductionist approach, deals with disease, you know, in a way where they acknowledge stress as a cause for these problems. They're actually saying that stress causes and contributes to physiological events, and when it's left unchecked, leads to disease. I teach that in many of our teachings that we do when I talk about the stress response. So they look at it from that way. However, their solution varies compared to the ancient models of whether it be traditional Chinese medicine or Ayurvedic medicine, where they work with the whole organism, the whole body. In our reductionist model, of course, there's always a pill or a potion or a powder to fix that. We don't usually say we need to work with ourselves. In fact, very few people at times really want to work with themselves because, number one, it's hard to find someone to really teach you how to do that. And secondly, it requires effort. And effort is what keeps us healthy. Effort is our healing force. So we need to really look at what's the underlying root. And I've done a blog, Root Up Your Issues, in the past, where I say it's our problems never exist where we think they do. It's never the person or the event that's causing us to have these reactions. It's the root of some fear that lies very deep within ourselves, a conditioning. You know, I mentioned in my book, Feeling Good Matters, The Yoga of Mind, Medicine, and Healing, to remain calm, consciously aware, living in the moment, gives us the opportunity to recognize what motivates our responses to certain circumstances and to people, and not to others. You know, when we become aware of our feelings and thoughts, we have the opportunity to literally remain calm, even in the most horrific or hectic environments that we experience. Awareness is the key here, and we know that awareness is the key to maintaining balance. And I always use the word heal, and we defined heal in one of our previous episodes, means to make whole. In other words, bring ourselves back into balance. Awareness allows us to gain access to this inner core of our being, and it helps us to untie those knots that bind our heart from being happy and joyful. It always keeps us, when we're bound up, in a very disheartened or a sad state. So when we bring our mindfulness, I like to say awareness, because mindfulness just implies a full mind of thought. So when we bring this awareness into our focus, we gain access to that light that dwells within us. And that is that light is the pure awareness. And all of this happens if we remain truly calm. So I just want to say a little side note here. You can't specifically define the word awareness, since it can't be defined by the mind. The mind loves to define and put things in order, but there's really not a clear definition of what does awareness mean. So when I say remain calm, here I'm defining calm as being in that state of awareness, but in that state we become the witness. It's the awareness is the witness, the witnesser, the person who's doing the witnessing, not it's more the one who's observing, not the object of observation, nor the process of observation itself. It's the one, if I were to ask you to close your eyes now and watch your breath, if you're driving, please don't, but you would close your eyes and just watch your breath. Who's watching the breath? That's the awareness we're talking about. So pure awareness implies a recognition of the observer. You know, like I just said, the one who's doing the breathing, the thinking, the listening. And it's not to be mistaken for the object, in this case, the body or the brain. So, nor even the process that's carried out by the mind. So we have to learn to remain calm. We can look at it from a perspective of stresslessness, okay? So we don't have stress. When you're consciously aware, living in the moment, when we live in the now, as Eckhart Tolle had said, living in the now, we're consciously aware, we're in that moment. So stress will take a back seat. It's a rare occurrence these days, though, we're going to find taking, you know, not having stress, because we always feel like we're running far behind, getting a promotion, finding a new partner, buying a bigger house, FOMO, you know, fear of missing out, as I said in our last podcast. So we're always, it seems like we're chasing the clock. So, but we do that even though we know remaining calm is the key to being happy. You know, life doesn't spoil us with constant success, with things going our way. On the contrary, there's often more pain than pleasure, and we aren't as well equipped to handle the situation because we constantly have to maintain that then, right? So we learn how to live our lives without losing our true selves when we remain calm. Once we learn how to really do that without becoming, lost, in the sea of, I always say, false prophets, these false illusions of what we can be, then we can really start enjoying our life. Again, the key is to be aware, and awareness can be trained with meditation. And we'll talk about meditation more fully in our next podcast, but I'll mention some things here today, because that's one of the tools that we have in our lifestyle. And we'll talk about more things like nutrition and diet and herbs, in podcasts to come, in maintaining the healing force within our own life. So how does meditation work? Well, when we meditate, we come to know the workings of our mind. Very few people don't take the time to study the workings of the mind. You know, if you are trained systematically and learn the components of the mind field, then meditation can become a very good tool. For example, one aspect of our mind is called ego. Ego is a master identifier. That's where we get the, this is mine, this is for me. It's about the I, me, mine generation. And what it does is it sends us searching for happiness in outside sources. So what we train ourselves in meditation, I'm just giving you one example, we polish the ego to let go of those concepts. This is me, this is mine, this makes me happy. Nothing makes you happy. You're choosing to be happy. So we must come to know that nothing is ours, because it's all transitory and subject to change. And true happiness comes from within us, and meditation teaches us that. You know, many people say, oh, My husband makes me happy. My wife makes me happy. My family makes me happy or sad. But truly, it's not. It's our perception that creates these emotions. Because the same person that made you happy when you fell in love 20, 30 years ago, you look at them now and you might not have that. Well, what is it? Did the person change or did your perception change? So perception is what changes. And as we meditate, our perception does change, but we learn to be less judgmental. So meditation introduces us to ourself, the big self, who we are, and we learn to fully grasp this concept. We then are able to analyze the source of our disturbances and establish a more resilience, especially in times of disharmony, because things do come up that aren't very pleasant, but we learn to ride those waves a lot easier than getting knocked off the surfboard, as I used to say, out on waves. So as I mentioned, our next podcast will be on meditation, but I wanted to address mindfulness and awareness just a little bit more and say that mindfulness is a very popular word today. But as I said, I prefer to use the word awareness since it encompasses more than mindfulness. It's one thing to be mindful of the world around us, our senses, our feelings, our thought constructs, even our immediate environment. But then there comes a point when we need to decide what we want to be mindful of. For example, if we always have thoughts, we always do, and sensory impressions, just our senses, our eyes, our smells, our hearing, we're inundated with that all day. So it's important to be mindful of what's going on around us. But we don't want our life to be spent watching all of these outside influences that may come to mind. The reason why, it'll be a merry-go-round. You'll be spending your whole life being mindful of everything and not being focused on where you want to go. So a look at awareness, we really can't define it, as I said, but we could think of it as a light. And I'd like you to just think of this. There's an individual mind and a universal mind. And we have our individual mind. So if you think of it as molecules, and molecules like to attract like molecules. So think of your personal mind field within the whole universe. And out in that universe, all sorts of atoms are floating around. And then you have your individual mind. Now, if you choose to put positive in your individual mind, you will attract those atoms that are out in the universal mind floating around to come into your individual mind. If you allow doubt, worry, or anything negative coming in to your individual mind, it might just happen, it slips right in. If you have that happen to you, what happens is then you start attracting all these negative atoms from the outside, and then you think that they're your thoughts. And many times they're not. You just pick them up because the mind left an open door for that. So let's just keep that in mind. So what is a strategy to get started? There's a couple of things I came up with. We're bringing our mindfulness into focus. We create the awareness by deciding what we want to be mindful of. So there's an intention there. And we have an awareness. Hey, I'm going to start paying attention what I'm mindful of. Why do I want to be mindful of all the negative news on the internet? I want to be mindful of the positive things that are happening in the world. In other words, that's just an example. And when I work with that, I have students or clients, because I do private consultations, especially when I'm doing some executive coaching, what I'll have them do is focus on the space of their eyebrows, the eyebrow center. And we'll do a meditation, as I said, next time on this. But we focus our attention, and then we learn how to keep that light of awareness there. Because we really, our mind doesn't wander. It's our awareness that wanders, not our mind. Keep that in mind also. See, these things need to be taught. There's a problem with focus. First, we're never taught. That's one of the big issues. And second, we never practice. So once we learn to practice and we're taught and we practice it, then we become a laser beam rather than a light bulb in life. So I call it actually the lift. We're able to lift our consciousness up. And that's in, again, the Feeling Good Matters, one of the chapters there. So when people are mindful of their thoughts in a stressful situation, I tell them, remain calm. And they use that. You know, students will call now, say, you know, it really worked the other day. I started to get all worked up, and all of a sudden I turned around and I said, just remain calm. In fact, if things come my way, I'll have people now throw that back at me. Susan, remain calm. So it's kind of fun, and it's got a peaceful sound to it, and it really just reminds us to be aware. Just be aware and live in the moment, because moments change. Things change very, very rapidly. So we need to remain calm. What else do we need to do to get started? I always say determination is your second ingredient. We must have a resolve that we want to change. When we have determination, we create discipline. And we don't need to be afraid of that word, discipline, because all discipline means is the act of following through on what we want to accomplish. Very few people have discipline today. They call it studying. They call it, I'm just wanting to learn other things. But discipline is really following and really being direct on what you want to accomplish, not floating around the universe. So knowing our capacity is integral to our success. And that comes from a comfortable daily routine. And when we have a routine, it serves our inner anchor to create stability while building confidence and trust. And that's really what we need, the confidence and trust in our inner capacity. So as I mentioned above, we also need, I said discrimination, because discrimination is a third component, and that'll enable us to detach from the associations that disturb us. And discrimination actually is a part of the mind that we call in Sanskrit the Buddha. That's the light, that's the enlightened one, that's where our intuition comes from. So when we use discrimination, we have that light of awareness working. And it doesn't translate into being dispassionate about something. It just means to have the discriminatory capacity to differentiate what's real and what's not. You know, it's best not to identify with things of the world as being real because they're in a constant state of fluctuation. What's good today is not good tomorrow. What's here today is not here tomorrow. You know, one day someone likes you, the next day not so much. One day they talk to you, the next day they don't. You could be going up and down all day, concerned yourself how others feel about you. It's all their issue. Everyone's got their own issues and they project them on other people. So we want to learn not to identify with the concerns of others. And this way we could remain calm. Because when we do that, it makes us subject to the ups and downs of external influences. And how many of you have ever said, gosh, why did I let that bother me? I know I've said that many times. We don't need to let things bother us because we're already who we are and we're fine the way we are. We just need to work with ourselves to feel real strong with our own light. You know, the self-confidence and dynamic energy that we acquire from our practices help us fuel our fire of trust. I like to say the fire of trust. Because trust comes from, and I mean trust yourself, recognizing that we're in control of our own being, not others. You're in control of your own responses rather than reactions. You don't want to be a reactor. You'd like to be a responder. So when we learn to focus our attention by lifting ourselves above a situation, we gain trust in ourselves. And then we begin to see how just removing our identification of others' happenings changes our perception. We lift ourselves to a new level of awareness. When our mind becomes detached from the noises of what we call manas, manas in Sanskrit is the sensory mind, the noise of the mind chatter, the noise of anything, we can get access to our intuitive powers. That's the discriminative power. That's the buddhi. That's the Buddha, which enables us to clearly see and operate accordingly from within our heart. We are the Buddha. We have that light. And that's what the whole message of Buddha was about. So as we continue to be drawn outward in the world, we have to learn to be skillful if we're going to maintain our health and our healing force. So my advice is to pay attention to what you are doing and don't take any of human life for granted. Be aware and train your mind and have your mind stay focused because the energy of the mind is the essence of life. And this brings us to the end of this episode. So if you'd like to get the podcast automatically, it's available on your favorite podcasts like iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and others. Or you can just go to susantaylor.org and click on the subscribe button. So contact us at susantaylor.org if you have any questions, comments, or feedback. And thanks for listening. The podcast comes out every week, and any questions, I'd love to hear any comments. So until next time, remain calm.